Cause it's Friday.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? It is
Well, howdy, folks, and welcome to another episode of The Best Friday Ever. How you doing? How's 2022 starting off for you? All right, real quick check-in with you. All right, if you had a resolution, if you had some sort of New Year's goals, whatever, however you decided you were going to crush 2022, let's use this right now as a checkup. How you doing? Good? Not so good? Crushing it? Okay, well, here's the deal. If you are crushing it, figure out, why? Stop to think. Why is this happening? Why am I actually sticking with my plan this year? Look for that thread of success and what is making it happen, and then make sure nothing gets in the way of those primers, those triggers, those things that are helping you continue forward, okay? Remember your why. Stop while the getting's good, okay? While it's good, stop and evaluate. Don't take it for granted. Now, if you are not hitting your goals, if you for some reason have veered off course, if all of a sudden the meals are getting a little bigger, the portion controls are getting a little bit worse, you're skipping a couple of sessions of reading, you're not going to the gym, or you're not getting in your steps every day, stop, evaluate, look, and figure out why. What is the opportunity cost that you are not aware of? Here's what an opportunity cost is. Every time you say yes to something, you're saying no to something else. So look back and figure out, what are you saying yes to that is causing you to say no to those things that you decided early on this year that you wanted to achieve? Okay, quick checkup. Now, let's move on. One of the things that I have heard a lot of lately is friends, students that are peers of my daughters that are just, it seems like drug use is running rampant. And I'm not just talking about, so when I was an undergrad from 94 through 97, we started seeing a lot more weed, a lot of marijuana on campus at Stephen F. Austin State University. But it was still just a few, I had a few fraternity brothers that would smoke out. And then there was one fraternity in particular that they had some cocaine. But I can honestly say there was one party I went to in 4 years of college where there was any weed there. So it wasn't like just this thing that everyone did, like popping, you know, Keystone Light on a Friday night. It wasn't like that, that was the common thing. Everyone at SFA dipped Copenhagen, not me because I would have puked everywhere, but dipped Copenhagen and drank either Bud Light, Coors Light, Miller Light, or Keystone Light. But there wasn't a lot of weed. And now fast forward to today, it's like everyone smokes weed. Everyone has had at some point in time in their life a prescription to Adderall or some other ADD drug. And then I'm at a friend's house in Austin that I had not seen in a long time. And he mentions to me that one of our buddies, actually was a guy that I lived right next door to my very first semester, my first year in college in our dorms, played football with him there at SFA. That he had passed. And I was like, what happened? He said he OD'd. I'm like, wait, what? He OD'd? I mean, guys, listen to me. This is just a normal dude. I mean, this isn't like some guy that you would have ever seen this coming. And I'm hearing more and more of this. There was another friend who his child committed suicide, had been caught up in some drugs and some other bad behaviors and ended up committing suicide. I think the kid was less than 17 years old. And I was talking to my oldest daughter here a while back, and she told me how, yeah, Dad, she said, cocaine is everywhere. Everyone is, you know, doing blow. And then, you know, I've got Abby, my youngest, who's in Boulder, where, you know, yes, they celebrate marijuana there probably to a kind of a ridiculous degree. But it's just like, so I was like, what is going on? Why? And I ask Jimlin this all the time. Why are so many people checking out? What the heck is going on? Why are so many people feeling bad naturally? So they're having to go enhance their experience that is life to feel a little bit better. It just, one, it's sad. I don't look at it from a judgmental standpoint. Please don't misunderstand. I look at it as this is a problem. Then you look at the neuroscience behind social media. Why are so many people addicted to their screens? Why are they staring at their screen? And I did a, I know I wrote about this in the Vitruvian Letter. I may have mentioned this in a podcast way back. There is a documentary about this from one of the founders of Facebook that talks about kind of the neuroscience that they deploy at these social media companies to get people hooked. There is a science to this. There's a reason, and I know a lot of you know this, that when you're looking at your Instagram, the ads, the feeds, if you're going through YouTube, the videos that are shown in your feed, those are not accidental. There's a reason why I don't get a lot of Summer's Eve ads in my YouTube feed, but I'll get every freaking video that David Goggins or Tim Ferriss or Ryan Holiday or these guys have done, because it's based on this other stuff that I'm looking at. And you know, and so I'm sitting going, I want to figure this out because I want to be able to, because here's the thing. I'm in this unique position of I'm obsessed with feeling really, really good. But the things that I do to feel really, really good, they seem healthy. Now, Jimlin will argue at times I'm a little obsessive, a little about the things I do. But, you know, I like infrared sauna. I like my ice baths. I like to work out. I haven't had a drop of alcohol in over 3 years. And look, I do not say that to you from a pious position. I don't say that to you from a moral standpoint. I say that to you as a, hey, it can be done. I mean, I say this because I'm like, how can I help others figure out what I just basically, yes, I did the research. Yes, I've deployed a lot of strategies to get to this point where I'm obsessed with controlling my mind, controlling my emotions, controlling my behaviors, being able to, like I talked about earlier, to be able to assess those opportunity costs. If I say yes to this meal, I'm saying no to my ideal weight or my ideal glucose level. Whatever I do, you know, there's a cost. So I feel like I've kind of, my hobby has put me in this position. So now I'm like, I want everyone to know this. And I'm worried because I see more and more people staring at screens. I hear more and more people overdosing. I hear more and more people just miserable. And I can't help but look at that and go, what can I do to help? You know, and not because I'm so magnanimous or anything like that. It's just, you know, whenever it's like, there's a story in the Bible where this guy, he is in a field. It's a parable that Jesus is giving about salvation and how amazing it is and how wonderful it is. And he tells this story. He said, it's like a man who was walking through a field and he comes upon some buried treasure and no one knows the treasure's there. And so immediately the man goes and he sells everything he owns to buy this portion of land that holds this treasure. That's the way Jesus describes salvation. It's like you would give, once you learn what it is, you give up everything so that you may have it, okay? Well, this is kind of like that for me. The things that I get to experience on a daily basis, the way I handle problems, the way I communicate with other people, the way I process things, the way things do not impact me the way they once did emotionally or whatever, it's like this treasure that I have found and I want to go share it. And so that's why I have become somewhat obsessed with this. And one of the things I came across was some information from Andrew Huberman. And if you don't know who Andrew Huberman is, check him out. He's a neuroscientist with an incredible background story, just a wicked, smart Stanford-trained neuroscientist. And I came across a message from him that did a really good job explaining this. So I thought, why not include that in the Best Friday Ever? Because I'm going to dig more into Huberman's work on this because I think he nails something really, really succinctly, and it is this. We have reached a point where There is so little struggle for reward. I mentioned this one time before with regard to why we see so many people that are overweight. You could go crush 1,400 calories by sitting on your couch, watching an Arby's ad, then getting in your air-conditioned car, drive to a fast food restaurant, and then get this just meat fest of calories and oxides and all kinds of preservatives, and just shovel it in your face. And so you have had what once upon a time would have been a sustainable amount of calories to last you for multiple days. You can now consume it within 30 minutes, anytime you want, with no struggle at all. And the result of that is these immensely overweight people. Well, it's the same thing with like TikTok and all these, the dopamine hits that we get now. We don't have to work. We don't have to work for the reward. You don't have to climb Everest to get the high, right? You don't have to go perform an incredible act of athletic endurance or physical endurance to then reap the endorphin rush that comes. Now we can just have these moments of pleasure one after another, after another, after another, until we become addicted to it, to a point where there's a shorter period of struggle between each pleasure point, to where then we just want to find ourselves in this euphoric state all the time. So Andrew Huberman talks about this. And so just check out what he has to say. Don't listen to me. Listen to a neuroscientist on the matter. I think he really sums it up well.
Pleasure experienced without prior requirement for pursuit is terrible for us. It's terrible for us as individuals. It's terrible for us as groups. And I have great confidence in the human species to work this out, but we are finding now, and we are going to increasingly find, that those who will be successful, young or old, are going to be those people who can create their own internal buffers. They're going to be able to control their relationship to pleasures, because the proximity to pleasures and the availability is the problem. If you look at the increase in use of drugs of abuse or prescription medication, which at least at the first pass deliver pleasure, pain relief, the whole issue with the opioid crisis and dopaminergic drugs like Ritalin, Adderall, you know, there is sometimes is a clinical need, but tons of people are taking those recreationally now or to study. Huge dopamine increases are what those cause. That is a problem. That's a serious problem, because it creates a cycle where you need more of that specific thing. I would say addiction is a progressive narrowing of the things that bring you pleasure. And you know, and I don't like to comment too much on enlightenment, because you know, I don't really know what that is as a neurobiologist, but a good life, we could say, is a progressive expansion of the things that bring you pleasure. And even better, a good life is a progressive expansion of the things that bring you pleasure and includes pleasure through motivation and hard work. And understanding this pain-pleasure balance, whereby if you experience pain and you can continue to be in that friction and exert effort, the rewards are that much greater when they arrive. And so if you look at any drug of abuse or any situation where somebody isn't motivated or thinks that, now they may have clinically diagnosed attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, but a lot of what people think is ADHD, it turns out, is people just over-consuming dopamine from various sources. And also the context within a TikTok feed is, the context switch is insane. The brain has never seen, first of all, this is the first time in human evolution that we wrote with our thumbs, but that's a pretty benign shift. And then the other shift is, normally you walk from one room to another, or from a field into the trees, or from a hut into, or a house, or whatever it is. But now you can get 10,000 context switches in that 30 minutes of scrolling on Instagram or TikTok. And so it's all about self-regulation. Well, how do you self-regulate? How do kids self-regulate? Well, this is my hope, and one of the reasons I've gotten excited about public education and teaching neuroscience, is that this is a place where knowledge of knowledge actually can allow oneself to intervene. When you think, I'm feeling low, I don't feel good, nothing really feels like good, am I depressed? Maybe, but maybe you've saturated the dopamine circuits, you're now in the pain part of things. What do you do? Well, you have to stop. You need to replenish dopamine. You need to stop engaging with this behavior, and then your pleasure for it will come back.
Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Best Friday Ever. Hey, folks, I truly, truly hope that you go out and you really figure out healthy ways to find not just happiness, not just material things, not just quick fixes, not just sugar highs, but go dig deep and find those things that will bring you ultimate joy. And I can tell you, it's just like in C.S. Lewis's book, Surprised by Joy. It's going to take some work. You're going to be digging, and it's going to joy won't even be the objective. You'll just be working, and you'll be sometimes you'll be faced with obstacles and drudgery and all this. But then all of a sudden, you will be surprised by the joy that comes from that struggle. And I hope you experience that. And if I can ever help you in any way, reach out, jasonrightnow.com, and just fill the contact sheet. Say, hey, listen to the podcast. I'm struggling with joy. I don't know how to find happiness. I'm getting my joy and happiness and my feel good, if you will, in the wrong places. Can you help? And I may not be able to, but I'll certainly try. So with that, go have the best Friday ever, best weekend ever, and have the best year ever. Thanks so much. I'm Jason. I'm out.